Good morning. To all the mothers, I say Happy Mother's Day. If you would, take your right hand and reach behind you and pat yourself on the back. Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers. Today is a day of first for me. This is the first time I've been away from my mother on Mother's Day. And so that's a new thing for me. If she ever listens to this, I say Happy Mother's Day, Mama. I'm not ashamed to say that I am a mama's boy. I love my mama. And so on a day like today, I miss my mama. So anyways, we'll get through this, and maybe this will be something y'all can take away today. If you would, grab your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, we're going to look at both chapters 1 and 2. Just to kind of give you an overview, we're not going to read all of chapter 1. But a man named Elkanah had two wives. One of his wives named Hannah, and the other Peninnah, I guess. Peninnah was able to have children. And in fact, I think she had two children. I'm not for sure. It said all her sons, Peninnah, his wife, and all her sons and daughters. We do not know how many children she was able to have, but she was able to have children. Hannah was not able to bear children for Elkanah, her husband. He still loved her just as much, even though she was not able to bear children. When Elkanah would go to give offerings, when he came back, he would give her double portions of what he would give to his other wife. Peninnah often would irritate or mock or make jokes at Hannah because Hannah was not able to have children. Hannah, of course, began to grow tired of this. She began to grow frustrated and angry because she was not able to have children. Soon she fell into a world of depression, a state of depression. She wasn't eating. Her heart was saddened. She prayed to God and vowed that if God would bless her with having a son, with having a child, she would give him to God for all the days of his life. She was so wanting to have a child that when praying to God, she said, "I will give him to you. He will live in your house all the days of his life." We have seen God be able to give children to women. We see him give a child to Sarah and Abraham. We see him able to give a child to Rachel, the wife of Jacob. She was not able to have children, but God gave her two children. Hannah so desires to have a son that she is willing to give God her son. Samuel, of course, is the son that she is blessed with, becomes a prophet of God. I'm sure that Hannah was able to see Samuel from time to time. I'm sure she had the freedom to go and see him when she wanted to. But she was not able to raise him like most of us would be able to. He was given to the service of God. But when she finds out that she is going to have a son, her heart is overwhelmed with happiness. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, she gives this prayer to God. Start reading with me in 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed. The first point I want us to take from this prayer is that Hannah rejoices at the blessing of having a son. A mother who was not first able to have children is now able to have a child because of the power of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 18 and 1 Samuel 2 and verse 1, we see her rejoicing. Verse 18 says, "And she said, 'Let your servant find favor in your eyes.' Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad." She was rejoicing at the fact that she was able to bear a child for her husband. Hannah exalts God, which is to rejoice in or take joy in God and the blessing that she was given by him. She rejoices in the blessing that God has given to her. She takes joy in God because he has given her the strength to press on. She was driven to a state of depression. She was not able to have children. And now God has pulled her out of that pit, out of that state of depression, and given her the strength to have a child. Her strength is exalted in the Lord. 1 Samuel 2, verse 1. She acknowledges that her accomplishments, blessings, successes of having a child is 100% from the source of God. Because of God. Since she was unable to bear a child for her husband, again, she falls into a state of depression. She was irritated and frustrated and driven to sadness because of this. She wept. She wouldn't eat. She came to the point where she prayed constantly until sounds no longer came out of her lips. Verses 12 and 13 of chapter 1, Eli the priest thought she was drunk. She was sitting there, her lips were moving, but nothing was coming out of her mouth, and she was praying to God. It's almost she has lost the energy for words to come out of her mouth. She has prayed so long and so faithfully to God that noises no longer come out of her mouth. And she assures Eli in chapter 1 that she is not drunk. She has not had strong drink. She is simply praying to God, begging God to give her a child. After many days of weeping and praying and not eating, she can rejoice because God finally granted her her request. Prayer is that powerful. She was so desperate to have a child, she vowed to give the child to God. Even after praying so long for a child, she had to give it back to God. So not only do we see Hannah rejoicing at the blessing of having a child, we see that she remembers. She vows to remember what God does for her. Verse 3, it says, "Let no arrogance come from your mouth." Verse 6, "The Lord kills and brings to life." Verse 7, "He makes poor and makes rich, brings low and exalts." Verse 2, "There is none holy like the Lord. There is none besides you." Hannah remembers the power of God. She remembers the blessing. She remembers the God that she serves. She remembers the power that he has. He gave her a reason to be happy again. She had a reason to eat. She was given a reason to feel worth and purpose in life because her counterpart, her husband's other wife, made sure that she felt lower than low. I can imagine that she will vow to always remember the blessing that God gave to her and the power that he had to give a barren woman a child. The statements she makes in verses 2 through 8 are an indication of her thankfulness and adoration or admiration of God. The way she expresses her thankfulness and happiness shows me that this will not be forgotten and will live. She will live her life remembering in reverence to God, which leads me to Hannah not only rejoicing in the blessing or remembering God in the blessing, but she reveres God. Hannah reveres or shows complete reverence to God, complete respect to God's power. To her, because of her child, God is the Most High, the most powerful. She no longer has a reason to worry, to have that anxiety and depression of not being able to have a child. She doesn't have to worry about falling into depression again because she knows all she has to do is depend on God. She only has to talk to God. He has given her the only thing she has ever wanted, a son. She knows that any other request is easily obtained as long as she has faith in the one she requests from. The adversaries, both external and internal, will be broken to pieces. Children are a beautiful gift. And as we see with Hannah, not being blessed with such blessings can take a toll on humans mentally and emotionally and in a way physically. But when God finally blesses us with a child, even if it's not biologically, it can be one of the most beautiful of blessings. Hannah revered it as that, a beautiful blessing. She revered God and the power that he had. Not only was Hannah blessed by becoming a mother, as she had for many days, she was able to give Samuel to services of God. As she weaned him and nurtured him for a short time, she knew where he would be. She knew where he would go. She knew he would be a servant of the Lord and the house of the Lord. She rejoiced and remembered that what Samuel was born to do. She revered God and his power to make what isn't become is, to become reality. Today I want us to look at another mother. We've looked at Hannah. Now let's look at the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She too was blessed with having a baby. This mother didn't pray for many days for God to give her this child. An angel came to her and gave her a son. I'm sure that at the point in her life where her and Joseph weren't even married, I'm sure a child was the last thing that she asked for. But according to Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, she was far from disappointed of the child that she was about to have. If you would flip over to Luke chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. My soul magnifies. This is a song that we sometimes sing at youth activities or youth functions. It is called Magnificat. Mary is saying, my soul magnifies the Lord because of the blessing that she is about to receive. Mary is so joyful at the fact that she is pregnant with the Son of God. She rejoices at that blessing. As she visits with Elizabeth, she has the feeling of beyond happiness, beyond joy. She cannot contain her joy. And she breaks out into a song of praise. All generations will call me blessed. She notices the blessing of a child. She remembers the blessings God has given to her. His mercy is for those who fear Him. Respect Him. Do you think that if Mary were not a faithful servant of God, that God would have given her this blessing of being the mother of the Son of God? Judging by the way she describes her life before this, it indicates that she is a righteous woman. She is a faithful woman to God. Mary does well to not only remember the blessing of Christ, but remembers the other great blessings in her life. Not only is the Son of God being born to her a blessing to her, but the other blessings that God has given to her are blessings, and she does well to remember those. She looks back to the history of kings and how God dethroned them. She knows of His ability to exalt those who humble themselves and to humble those who exalt themselves. But what I want to ask you this morning is a question that has caused my heart to drop when I think about it. When I have asked myself this question, at His birth, do you think Mary knew? When Jesus was born, do you think Mary knew the course of His life? Do you think she knew she would be able to do little to comfort Him? While He was on the cross, dying for our sins, do you think that when He was born, do you think she knew? When Hannah had Samuel, she knew where he was going. She knew that he would be brought to the house of the Lord. What do you think Mary knew? Do you think that maybe as Jesus grew, one day He came to His mother, Mary, and said, Mama, one day I'm going to die. Not of natural causes, but because the people of this world will hate me. The people of this world will reject what I have to say. I wonder at what age did He tell her that? I'm sure at some point she knew. I'm sure at some point she knew that her son, the blessing that he was to her, would be crucified on a cross. And the only thing that she could do is stand by and watch. Watch as he carried his cross down the road. With little energy left, she had to watch him. She couldn't intervene because most likely she would have been beaten or killed as well. And as she stood there and watched him bleed out, watched him suffocate to death, I wonder how she felt. The mother of our Lord and Savior was helpless. She was hopeless as she watched her son draw his last breath. Sometimes I wonder, and I ask myself that question, at what point did she know? And so I ask you, put yourself in Mary's shoes. What if at some point your son or your daughter came up to you one day, no matter what age, and said, one day I'm going to die. Not as a result of disease or a result of natural causes, but a result of people will hate me. Mom, Dad, this world is going to hate me. And one day, this world will crucify me. I wonder what Mary thought. Even today, we call Mary blessed. She was able to mother the one and only Savior of our race, the one and only Messiah, the one and only Son of God. But I wonder the emotional toll, the suffering that she had to endure while her son was crucified. This morning, I say Happy Mother's Day. But thanks be to God that we do not have to watch our children suffer in the way that Mary had to watch Jesus suffer. He was hated by men, beaten, his back torn to shreds. And I'm sure all she wanted to do was give him a hug, or to kiss him on the cheek, and to give him some kind of comfort. But every time he had to lift himself up to take a breath, I wonder how she felt. I wonder what was going through her mind. This morning, there may be some of you who have not put on Christ in baptism. There may be some of you who have done so, but have fallen away from Christ. Don't let Jesus' sacrifice go to waste. Don't let the pain and turmoil that Mary had to endure before him, before the cross, go to waste. So I pray that this morning, if you have not put on Jesus in baptism, you do so. Maybe you have fallen away. We pray that this morning you come back to Jesus. You let us pray for you. You let us pray over you. But if there's any need that you have this morning, if you would, please stand as we sing.